Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled Queen Esther Walked by Faith and Saved the Lives of Many. I'm going to be reading from the book of Esther, chapter 3. And we're at the point in the narrative where Haman has been introduced by the writer. And the writer gives some information about the background of Haman. The writer, in fact, summarizes the background of Haman by stating that he was an Agagite. And so if you would want to read some information about Haman's background, please read 1 Samuel 15. And there you will read about the program that Samuel had told Saul that he must carry out against Agag and his people. Interestingly, the name Agag means violent. And so we read there in 1 Samuel 15 that Saul failed to carry out the complete words of Samuel, and therefore the complete will of God. It is very interesting that we read there that Saul saved the best of the sheep, etc., and that he brought back before Samuel the king of these people that had been devoted to the Lord for destruction because of their wicked history. God was moving in judgment against the Canaanite leaders and the Canaanite city-states because of their histories of evil and their idolatry and the heinous practice of child sacrifice, the practices of Baalism and Baal worship, etc. And so, because of Saul's failure to do what God or Yahweh had told him to do, some descendants of Agag were spared, and Haman happened to be of that lineage, of that background. So he has within his character that inherent or intrinsic sense of violence. And so it is Haman who put together this nefarious plot and provided the financing for this mission of genocide against the people of God. Now, if you would read such books as Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can read some of the stories of what has been done to the people of God throughout history. If you read another book entitled Jesus Freaks, it is much like Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it also bespeaks what has been done to the people of God in history. So, this is a very poignant story because we see that Mordecai, who raised Hadassah or Queen Esther was an orphan who had become the daughter of her cousin Mordecai. And both were taken from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. What is wonderful about Queen Esther, or Hadassah, is that she was not limited by her background. She had overcome adversity, personal adversity, sorrow, and grief. Mordecai was used by Yahweh to build Hadassah's spiritual character for a great work. And so she looked upon her cousin as Mordecai as her father, and he was indeed a great and wise mentor for her. Mordecai also had a great heart for his people. And we, in chapter 3, we see that Haman has an encounter with Mordecai. And so let me read beginning at verse 1. After these events, King Xerxes, or the Ahasuerus, honored Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him, but Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. See, Mordecai had an understanding of the background of this individual. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Now we get something about the character of this narcissistic individual. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down to him or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Listen to the language. Listen to what the word says about this person's heart. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. Now, one may think, well, this is an old narrative or story, and it doesn't concern me. Why should I care at all about this narrative? It's meaning to me. Let me say that one of the tragedies of modern Western Christianity is its failure to really understand history. And, excuse me, to have history taught in the local churches. And the idea of out of sight, out of mind is most unfortunate. It is well known that during World War II, that many German believers went to church and never questioned the oily clouds over certain areas, never questioned the horrific odors that came from these camps. We know some horrific things were done to people. They're recorded. And we know that soap was made from human fat that had been gotten from the bodies of certain persons in these camps. We know that wedding rings were taken. We know that gold teeth were knocked out. We know that hair was collected. We know that lampshades, etc., were made from human skin. There are certain other atrocities that took place in these camps. And so we need to understand history. And you can never say, well, that won't happen here. Or we don't need to have the awareness of such things. See, this kind of naivete is ungodly. It is unspiritual. Notice this man's resolve. He scorned the idea of merely killing Mordecai. He looked for a way to destroy all of his people throughout the whole kingdom. Verse 7, in the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, they cast the pur, or the lot, in the presence of Haman to select a day and month. And the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, and now the king is brought into this nefarious plot. Notice the plan has already been set in place. They just need to bring it before the king so that they can go on and do what they want to do. And so this is Haman's story. This is Haman's story to King Xerxes. There is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom whose customs are different from those of other people, and here it comes, who do not obey the king's laws. Is it not in the king's best interest to tolerate them? If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them. And I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business. And notice the coded language. Notice the coded language. The language is always coded, is it not? So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Notice the language by the writer. Keep the money, the king said to Haman, and do with the people as you please. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of the various people. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. So, these poor people have no idea of what has been planned for their lives. They go about their business as usual. They go about their day as usual. The children play, the parents work, and take care of the business of the family without knowing that this plan is in place. They have no awareness that this evil has been determined for them. Now, that's relevant for us in our day and our time. This is relevant knowledge. This is important information. And so, verse 14, a copy of the text of the